Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We praise God for this joy and privilege He has given to us together in the house of God. The Church of the Living God is also called the house of God. As God's children, we have gathered in His presence, and it is a joy to praise Him, worship Him, and to experience and enjoy His presence in our midst, to have His fellowship, and also to enjoy the fellowship of the living God and His children over here this morning. God is a reality. God speaks, God visits, God hears. He hears our prayers, He knows our needs, and He encourages, He promises, He strengthens us in all our situations. He is dependable in all situations. Whatever might be our need and the situation we are passing through, maybe a difficult situation, going through a kind of discouragement due to various reasons, but we can always look unto Him. And we have a word of God in our hands. This is a living word. We want to remind again and again that this word is the true and living word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And this living word takes us to the living God and enables us to have His relationship. That's a great privilege we have got. Our Lord has made this provision for us to be enlightened by His living word. Quite for some time, we have been meditating upon this word with regard to partakers of the divine nature, holding on the promises of God to be the partakers of the divine nature, escaping from the corruption of this world through lust. And that is what we read from Peter's second epistle and chapter 1 and verse 4. Partaking of the divine nature. What is this divine nature? It's all about God and His nature and His characteristics. And we must know those things, and we must understand those things, and we must believe wholeheartedly, and we must adopt those things in our own lives. Then only our life will be meaningful and purposeful, and that is the true blessed life. Only that experience gives us the blessings of eternal value, the heavenly blessings. Shall we all read that verse again? Peter's second epistle and chapter 1 and verse 4. Second epistle of Peter and chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As the Lord has enabled us in some of the previous weeks, we have seen about the holiness of God, about the love of God, and the forgiveness of God, and the faithfulness of God. These are all very, very important things for us to know and to understand, and also to get into the experience of those things in our own lives. We have to adopt those things. Because scripture says, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, if there be any man in Christ, he is a new creation altogether. He is a new creature. He is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. This is a new life experience in which we should keep going on. This life is quite temporary, as the word of God exhorts us again and again. We have got table before us. And we find bread and wine on the table, reminding us of the death of Lord Jesus Christ and also the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, especially this season, these Lent days. People keep remembering the death of Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, sufferings of Jesus Christ on the cruel cross. That was a reality. His crucifixion was a reality. His death was a reality. His burial was a reality. And his resurrection is a reality. On the third day, he rose again. He's a living God. Today, Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He is at the right hand of the Father in heaven and interceding on our behalf. It is really wonderful to know about this. And he is capable to deliver us from this death and to give us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, into this world. That whosoever believes in him, believing Jesus Christ, at the same time confessing all our sins, seeking forgiveness from the Lord, and accepting him in our hearts, in our lives, by faith, it transforms our lives. It changes our lives. This is the new life experience. One should have it. This we can understand, we can know only by experience. By hearing, we may not understand properly. But when we commit our lives, accepting Jesus Christ by faith, confessing all our sins, we get into this new life experience. And the life upon this earth, whether a man may live for 80 years or 100 years, whatever it might be, it is just like a dot when compared to this eternal life. Eternal life is just a very long line, you just imagine. And every individual life, mortal life, that is bodily, physical life upon this earth, is just like a dot somewhere. If you take a world map, sometime I met one man who came from Singapore. And I was talking to him. And he told me, I came from Singapore. I said, I'm very glad to have met you. And he said, do you know where is Singapore? He said, yeah, I can understand a little. I never had been to Singapore. He told me one word that comes to my remembrance now. He said, in the world map, Singapore is just a red dot. If you take world map, countries like North America or India or very big Asian countries or European countries, at least they find some place on the world map. He said, our Singapore is a red dot in the world map. It's just, I'm telling you, when compared, this relative comparison compared to the eternal life, our life upon this earth is like a dot. It is for a short time. But Jesus has promised eternal life. And because of that, in order to give that life unto us, he laid down his life. That is supreme sacrifice which anyone can ever make for anybody. And it was all because of his love. God loved us to the extent of laying down for our sake on the cross. What a great love it is. What a great sacrifice it is. And it is only when we experience it, when we are able to enjoy it, really we are blessed people upon this earth. Whether we may live for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, whatever it might be. So God wants us to be like his children, experiencing his nature, being the partakers of his divine nature. As I have just reminded you last time, we have seen about the holiness and the love and the forgiveness and the faithfulness of the living God. And today we are going to see, for a short time, we have got some time limitations also, constraints. We are going to see the long-suffering of this great God. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. What is this long-suffering? Long-suffering. It's just like pulling an elastic. Keep on pulling, pulling, pulling. It doesn't break because it is coming like this. It is an elastic. Long-suffering. Long-suffering, patience. To put in other words, patience for a long time. And God is a God of long-suffering nature. He has been bearing with us. Actually, when I got that verse, even my thoughts went to the year in which I was born, so many years ago. It went back and back and back and back. I was born on that day or that year. And all these years, my behavior, my attitude, my disobedience, my failures, my shortcomings, and my lagging behind in the spiritual things, falling short of the expectations of God, in failing to obey His commandments, violating His rules and His regulations. If I keep on writing down, I tell you, I think ordinary diaries, books may not be sufficient if I honestly confess before God. But God has been bearing with me, bearing with me, bearing with me all these years. I think I am the oldest person here right now, as of now, except one or two, maybe, I don't know. Brother James has not come. So many years. If you may think of yourself, all these years, all this time, Lord has been showing His long-suffering nature towards us, long-suffering, bearing with us. This way, when we think of our parents, how long they can have exercised this long-suffering towards us? You may have a small child, an infant. You have hope, maybe after 4 years or 5 years, when the child grows, the child will be able to take care of himself or herself. It's okay. You cannot expect a 13-year-old child to come and ask you, "Hey, mom, what is 2 plus 2? Then you have to break your head. You are a 13-year-old. Now you are asking me 2 plus 2? Because you are losing your patience, long-suffering. Your patience was there only for 5 years or 6 years. Afterwards, you are expecting the child. And a 20-year-old boy, he calls his dad one day, "Hey, dad, my teacher is asking me, what is the name of your dad? I forgot. What is your name, dad?" How will you feel about it? That means, whether you call it innocence or ignorance or mental retardation or anything you may call it, the child is not coming to the expectation. And definitely you are losing your patience also. But as far as God is concerned, oh, He has been exercising His patience and patience and patience. We are going to see one or two incidents from the Word of God. These are all real life stories that have happened, real life incidents that had happened. And they are great lessons unto us to teach us about this great God whom we are believing. I just want to bring to your notice one verse from Exodus and chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Here Lord Himself makes known unto Moses. He was talking to him. And He says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Various characteristics. When we think of God, when you think of the nature of God, to put it in other words, various characteristics of God, attributes. What is His nature? What are His characteristics? His behavioral attitudes. These are all various other alternative words we can find to understand about God. We have to understand, we have to believe, and we have to get into these lines. That is actually our goal. And He says, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" So many things. Long-suffering. I've been bearing and bearing and bearing, showing my patience. And what was the context in which He was telling Moses? Actually, if you read from the same book, Exodus, from 19th chapter onwards, God appeared unto His servant Moses, who was a great leader of all children of Israel, who have been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, and He was leading them. And this Moses was so faithful, and God called him unto Mount Sinai and wanted to talk to him. As you read from 20th chapter of Exodus, God gave him 10 commandments, and afterwards various rules and regulations and the things how to do, what to do, what not to do, all the things. And ultimately, if you come even up to 31st chapter, after telling so many things, after making himself known unto him, on two tables, he has given these commandments, 10 commandments. And he was getting down from that Mount Sinai. And when he got down, he found people, even Aaron and other children of Israel, they made an idol. And they were worshipping that idol. And they were telling that golden image, telling, "You are the God who brought us from Egypt." And Moses could not bear it. And ultimately, he threw the stones down. He crashed them and broke them. Of course, we don't have much time, but the word of God says, those two tables, and it was God with his finger, he has inscribed these 10 commandments and given to them. And with those tables, he was getting down. And when he saw the people's attitude, somehow he lost his patience. And the tables were broken. And he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Shall we also just see one or two verses for our better remembrance? Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18. Exodus and chapter 24 and verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. He was with God on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was coming down with these tables. And now these tables are broken. You just imagine, if Moses was showing so much of anger and resentment, think about God. What would he think? I have given these two tables, inscribed all the commandments, and told him so many rules and regulations, what to do and what not to do, so many things. But now these are broken. If you and I were in that place, in the place of God, what will we say? Hey, people, I can't bear with you. You go to hell. That is the one word people can usually, very easily use it. But in this portion, just now we have read, the same God was asking Moses to come again. 34th verse. And first 34th chapter, Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, "Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." And now the same God says, "You come again. You come again. You bring again two tables, and I will write down. I will give it to you." Oh, what a great God he is. What a long suffering he is having towards Moses the leader, and also towards all children of Israel. It shows the nature of God. And in this we see that Moses went again. Moses went again to the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. The same chapter, 28 verse, Exodus 34 and verse 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. Again Moses went unto the mount. And second time he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water. And God, out of his grace, shown his long-suffering nature and gave the 10 commandments again. He wrote, what a gracious God he is. And about this nature of God, about this long-suffering nature, we are going to see a few instances from the word of God, very briefly. From the Old Testament only, one instant, and we'll come back to New Testament. Maybe two instances for a better understanding. And whatever we study here, when we hear the messages and all that, is always any message by anybody on any occasion, it will be only for a limited time. So only limited things we can see. But the best thing is, these are just like appetizers before you take food. we have to take these thoughts, take this subject, and we should start meditating at home, taking our own time, and prayerfully asking God, Lord, I want to know more about these things. I want to read more about this. I want to read more number of passages on the same subject. You may get greater revelations. God will reveal to you many more things, many more truths from the word of God. God is not a respecter of persons. So our burden, our prayer is when we hear the word of God, some of the topics, again you go home, you take the word of God, spend more time with the word of God, and as the Holy Spirit guides you, read more passages and the connecting verses, better understand the subject, and you believe it wholeheartedly, and you adopt it in your own lives. And I want to mention to you chapter 5 of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 5th chapter, is really a wonderful chapter for us to read or to meditate or to remember. 5th chapter, book of Genesis, starting from Adam, you find 10 generations here. 10 generations, starting from Adam, ending with Noah. All the 10 generations, you find so many names. How people and their children, and how many years he lived, and the second one. Like that, so many names you find. And when you come to the last generation, in chapter 5, I am talking, that is the 10th generation, you find about Noah. And the word of God says, Noah found grace in the sight of God and he walked with God. Is it not wonderful to read about somebody who walked with God? Kindly see book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. One word is mentioned about him. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Wow, what a word it is. What a statement it is. What a great commendation it is about an ordinary human being like you and me. A man walking with God. Is it possible? We may raise a question. But the word of God is truth. Always it is true. We can never doubt the word of God. And that man of God was walking. He was walking with God. And what was the situation in those days when he was walking with God? Kindly see, 5th verse, 6th chapter, 5th verse. Just to tell a few verses about this man, Noah, I am reading from 6th chapter. Otherwise, our concentration is mainly about the 5th chapter. And the 5th verse of 6th chapter, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh, that was the situation. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Wickedness of man is great. Not goodness of man is great. Not kindness of man is great. Not the love of man is great. Here all the negative aspect, the wickedness everywhere. There is evil. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. This was the situation. In such a situation, when there was corruption everywhere, when there was evil everywhere, of course, we have these days, we have got the Church of the Living God, we have got fellowship with other saints, we have got the living word of God, and we can consult this word, we can read this word, and we can understand what are the commandments of God, what are the rules of God, and how can we conclude that you are violating, because we have got a written word. But in those days, you imagine, there was no word of God, and there was no church, no fellowship, nobody to encourage, nobody to exalt, only by conscience. Lord speaks, and he makes things known to our conscience. They were led by their conscience. And outside, everywhere there was evil and violence and disobedience. disobeyed. A great stream was going in one direction in such a situation. And this man was going against the stream. He was walking with God. These are challenging statements for us to take. Not for admiration, to clap hands or to appreciate Noah or somebody. But to adopt those things in our own lives. Take it as a challenge. Yes, Lord. Yes. Please help me. Please help me. Not to follow this great stream which is going in this world. Everywhere violation and evil and disobedience and lying and cheating. Whatnot. Sins of uncleanness. In such a situation, when I am living, I want to live for God. And also, Matthew writes in his gospel, how things were there when so much of bad and evil was going on. Kindly see on one verse we are going to read, Matthew's gospel, chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 38. Matthew 24, 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Here everybody knows about the story of Noah. Even Sunday school children are in youth meetings and many times repeatedly, because this is the greatest event that had taken in the history of the world. Not only Christians, many heathen people know about this. And how this Noah built a great ark. That was a big project. It was a great challenge, which encourages many architects, many engineers to take up such projects and to complete it, because that was a very challenging project. Many people know about it, and there was a great flood. There was destruction. Entire world was washed away except one family. That is eight people of the same family, husband and wife, three sons and three daughters-in-law, total eight. Only eight people were saved in the great devastation, great destruction. And till the day of destruction, in the situation, as Matthew explains, as in the days that were in the before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Is it wrong? Is it wrong to eat? Is it wrong to drink? Every day we are eating. Every day we are drinking. You may drink some thumbs up or Coca-Cola or some other, any other soft drink or whatever it is, even ordinary water. But eating and giving in marriage. Marrying is not a wrong thing. Giving in marriage is not a wrong thing. That means life was going as usual. People never suspected anything. They thought we are all right. And we are indulging in day-to-day activities. Yeah, entire world, they are marrying and we are marrying and they are eating and we are eating. Okay. But here the thing is, the things in which we are doing in this world, whether what is the priority, preoccupation, our mind, is very, very important. We are also eating, we are also drinking, marrying and all that. All the time, even this table reminds us that Lord is coming. Our preparation, our readiness for the coming of the Lord, even for that matter, our departure, we don't know. All the time we be thinking that Lord is coming, Lord is coming, Lord is coming. And before Lord comes, many funerals are taking place. And we are the witnesses of many funerals. And who knows, our funeral also may be over before the Lord comes. We do not, these are the uncertain, these realities. These are the realities. And we should be able to know the realities and be ready for the realities. Then only we are the overcomers. We cannot live in an imaginary world. So we should be ready all the time. And here, till these people entered into the ship, all the people, they were leading their lives as usual. But Lord gave a great warning. God revealed to this man, Noah, that impending danger is going to come. And God is going to judge this world. Because we have seen in the fifth verse of our sixth chapter, how entire world was full of evil. And in the fifth verse, in the fifth chapter, Genesis, and chapter 5 and verse 22. I am coming back to the fifth chapter. I am reading about another man here. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Who is this man? Enoch. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Here we find another man. That means Enoch was the great-grandfather of this Noah. Enoch was a great-grandfather. He was seventh from Adam. It's a very interesting chapter. When you go home, you take a paper, you take a pen, you write down the names of the people, how many years they lived. And even at the time, even Adam was alive. Adam has seen people up to the seventh or eighth generations. Because Adam died at the age of 930 years. Even Noah lived up to 950 years. And we find a man here, Methuselah, who happened to be the son of Enoch. He lived for 969, the highest record. Human life. 969 years. Oh, have you seen anybody with such a long life? If anybody lives for 100 years, somebody says, he's a centurion. A man lived for 100 years. And it's a great news. 969 years, this man lived, Methuselah, and his dad, Enoch, that is great-grandfather of Noah, his name was Enoch. The word of God says, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300. He walked with God. He also walked with God. That means it happened before Noah. Great-grandfather. He lived only for 365 years. Short life. But it was a wonderful life. Because he never went through the process of death. He did not die. He was taken away, alive by God. Oh, what a wonderful experience. Even if a man lived for 365 years, no death, no burial, no funeral, no memorial service, no funeral songs, straight away he was taken by God. There are two people in the Old Testament. One was Enoch and the other man was Elijah the prophet. Elijah also did not go through the process of death. He was taken away. Wonderful people. And the church also has got the same promise. If we are alive unto the coming of the Lord, when he comes in the mid-air, it's a great promise. Lord's coming is a promise. He told in John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 3. And also Acts of the Apostles at the time of his ascension, angels declared about his coming, as we read from Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. And Paul, when he wrote to Thessalonians in his first epistle, 4th chapter, 16th verse, and he says God is going to come in the mid-air with the voice of the archangel and with the sound of a trumpet. He's coming, he's appearing. The Christendom is waiting for that great day. And people who are alive, when he comes, people who are already dead in Christ shall rise first, the word of God says, and who are alive, and there is no more death for them. And they will be caught up along with the Lord to be in the mid-air. What a wonderful experience. And this is the experience promised to the children of God in the New Testament days. But here, this Enoch, he was taken. That's what we read in 24th verse. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God, and God took him. He was no more. He went away to be with the Lord. But before he was taken up, as the writer to the Hebrew says in the 11th chapter, verses 5 and 6, he had a testimony that his life was pleasing in the sight of God. And in the 6th verse of 11th chapter of Hebrews, how to please God? So the one who comes to God must believe he is. And he is the rewarder of them, those who seek him. God is. Enoch was believing all the time. Yes, God is. God is present. God is seeing. God is hearing. God is watching. When we really believe these things, the very attitude of our life will be changing. Why most of the times we misbehave and we talk as we like and we want to do as we like? Because we presume that God is not looking, God is not seeing. Only when I go to Zion, I should be very careful. Once it is 1:30 or 2 o'clock, after lunch, when I am out, oh, what a freedom it is. I mean, not only Zion for that matter. Any place of worship you go, any church you go, or when we meet for prayer, a fasting prayer, anywhere, oh, we want to be very careful. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. How are you, brother? All spiritual talk. Once it is over, and once you go home again, it is your kingdom. Because it is your own house, and you are the king of your house. We may be thinking like that. And here this man, the word of God says, walked for 300 years. Walking for 300 years. Is it possible? It was possible. He lived. He walked for 300 years. And he all the time, he was conscious of the fact that Lord was with him. And how he took this decision to walk with God, even during his generation. This Enoch was seventh from Adam. By the time his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam was alive. Adam was created by God. He was in the Garden of Eden. I don't know. He must have told all his experience to all his children, grandchildren, grandchildren, grandchildren. Now this is seventh generation. So Enoch also might have heard from Adam his grandfather's experiences. They might have asked him, he's a very, very great, great, great grandfather. Seven generations you go back. What were your experiences in the Eden, Garden of Eden? How God appeared unto you? And how God was speaking to our grandma, great, great, great grandma, Eve. They must be inquiring all these things. But even this generation, there was evil. There was, it started. Don't think it started in the generation of Noah. Even at the time of Enoch, this evil is increasing day by day. When Adam fell, Adam disobeyed. Adam went away from the presence of God, from Garden of Eden. And now we see the generations. People were going far from God day by day, day by day, day by day, day by day. If we start going from God day by day, the distance will increase. Only if you start coming to God, the distance will decrease. If you take a step from whatever situation you are in your life, yes, I want to go towards God, not going from God. You take a step, you start walking, even if it is slow walk, day by day you will be coming nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. Is it not true? But these people going far off, going astray, going away, there was evil. And this Enoch, his son's name Methuselah. Methuselah. I don't know how many of you have read about him before or to know about him. Methuselah, his death shall bring judgment. The meaning is, his death shall bring judgment. That means the day on which he dies, that will happen. What will happen? The judgment of God. The destruction is going to come. So God has already foretold. Because they gave this name. The day on which he dies, that will happen. This entire world is going to be destroyed. And then people got alert. First, his dad got alert. Hey, Methuselah, if he gets fever, or if he is sick now, he is doubtful, because any sickness, everybody will be doubtful. As long as we are healthy, we think that my body is a steel body, nothing will happen to me. A small fever is enough to prove that this is not steel body. Because Psalm 103 and verse 14 says, he remembers that we are of dust. Lord remembers every day that we are of dust, but we are forgetting. We are forgetting. If anybody says that you are of dust, we get angry. Do you say that I am of dust? No. We try to argue. But these are realities. Realities. And this man got alert. This Methuselah, the day on which he dies, it is going to happen. The destruction is going to come. It's a great message. And even this Enoch, the word of God says, he was a prophet. He was prophesying. He was preaching. Kindly see book of Jude. Shall we read two verses? Jude verses 14 and 15. That is just before Revelation. That epistle has got only one chapter. Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You read that epistle again afterwards. You read slowly, duly meditating, prayerfully. God may reveal many more truths to you. And this Enoch, he was preaching, he was prophesying, telling about the impending danger, about the coming judgment of God. And he was careful about his own life. While preaching to others, he was careful and cautious. Because this Methuselah, we don't know when he is going to die. The day on which he dies, there is going to be destruction. How careful it should be, he should be. Or everybody, he was preaching the same thing. Anyway, he lived only for 365 years. You read the history in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Then Lot took him out. And his son Methuselah. Methuselah, his son, he was living. But it's a big question. Everybody watching him all the time. Hey, is Methuselah all right today? Is he okay? Okay, did he take food normally? His digestion is okay? Everything is okay? I don't know whether there was a periodical medical checkups those days. Otherwise, everybody would take him for a medical checkup. Because everybody is interested in this Methuselah's welfare now. Because if he dies, there is going to be destruction. And he was growing and growing and growing and growing. And Methuselah got a son. His name was Lamech. And Lamech got a son. And his name was Noah. And he was 10th generation from Adam. And this Noah, he was also walking. Because even the elders, even Adam and other people, their testimonies, their experiences, their encounters with God, and what they have learned from God, and the warnings given by God, they might have passed on to the generations. And now they have also experienced about this Enoch, how he walked with God, where he has gone. God took him away. We did not conduct his funeral. We didn't have his burial place. Anyway, all people got alerted. And it has also influenced this Noah. And Noah also, we have already seen that verse, 9th verse of chapter 6, he walked with God. And God told him, you build an ark, that is a ship, because I am going to destroy. And there is going to be great flood. Entire world will be destroyed. And you be ready. And that was a provision God made. And that was a big time, big, long time project. 120 years. He was to build. And meanwhile, we don't know the condition of Methuselah. One side he should start constructing the ship, building the ship. And God did not provide money also. God said, you do it. When God tells us a job, don't expect that God will give money for that. We always want to expect, yes, God told me to do this. He wants him to give money. No. He gave us health. He made provision. And we can work. We can, with our own resources, we have to work for God. We have to honor him. We have to serve him. And he told him, job. And he has to make his own resources and build a ship. And at the same time, he was also preaching. This Noah also became a preacher. Because everybody will ask, hey, Noah, what is that you are building? Because those days there was no rain. And people cannot understand what is meant by floods. They just cannot follow. We can, to some extent, we can understand because we hear about floods. Though we are not the victims of these floods anytime. I don't know if any of you might have experienced this. But it is a precarious situation. People will be washed off. The tsunami and all that, when it happened in Japan, sometimes we saw on the screen how people were washed off, hundreds and thousands of people. It happens everywhere. It happens in India. It happens in America. Everywhere it happens because there are many oceans here and mighty oceans. And we see in India, the Arabian Sea and Bay of Bengal and India. We see so many things. These floods and rain will come. Destruction will come. And God told him to make a provision, this ship. So he is building the ship, looking at Methuselah. And now, the Lord said there is going to be destruction. So before the destruction, these are all time bound. This is something like race against time. And the building of that ship took nearly 120 years. And Noah was preaching and building and preaching and building. And meanwhile, Methuselah's condition, how is he? Is he okay? And see the long suffering of God in the midst of all these things. All these things. Because the ship should be, the completion of the ship, Lord should ensure. Let it take 120 years. As I told you, it is a lifetime project. It's a big project. Building and building and building. God told him to take all these animals by pairs to preserve them. And he was asking people at the same time, God is going to destroy. God's judgment is coming. And people who worked for that ship, it is quite unfortunate. They themselves did not enter the ship. Working for something is different. But believing and entering, it is the thing that matters. None of them came. So many people, you can imagine. Hundreds of people might have worked for the completion of the ship. But none of them were present when there was a destruction. They were all washed off, destroyed. It was only Noah and his family. And we read one verse from 1 Peter. Kindly see. One verse we are going to see from 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, and 20th verse. 1st Epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Few, 8 souls, they were saved out of this disaster. And here we see, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. That is, the time of building of the ship, 120 years, it should be built, and God should wait and wait and wait and wait. And another condition is, that man should not die. Who? That Methuselah. There are two conditions here parallelly. And before the destruction, the construction of the ship should be completed, and people should be offered. It's a free offer, inviting everybody to come to the place of safety. And now that man's health also should be taken care of. That was the reason the long suffering of God is proved. Why these 969 years? The age given to a man, that he lived maximum. Because God was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting to take care of that man. Because meanwhile, the ship should be completed and people should be offered shelter. And people, if they reject, it is for them. When we go to destruction, it is not God's fault. These days, even people when go to hell, we cannot blame God. God made a provision. Everybody to be saved, to be forgiven. He offers a gift, free gift of salvation, eternal life. Why are we going to hell? Why are we going to destruction? It is not God is cruel that he wants us to suffer in that. No, we are choosing. Because we are rejecting the offer given by God. Free offer. He is not asking us to bring $100 or $1,000. Not even a small coin of gold or silver. No, it's free. You believe in that? The great plan of God, great sacrifice of God, the death of God, the crucifixion of God. You hear it, you go away, but you don't accept it. You are hearing that is okay. Those people who are building the ship, that was okay. People who built that ship did not enter into that. And our church-going life, our Bible reading life, our praying, sometimes it may be for our own soothing our own conscience. But in reality, heart of hearts, have I repented of my sins? Repented of, who are the people who entered into this ship, who got saved? 8 people, the family members. All others were destroyed because they did not believe it. They heckled at Noah. They did not believe it. They got their wages and they went away. But they were destroyed. This family, probably his children, that is sons and daughters-in-law, might have been influenced by his life and testimony. They believed it. That is why they came into the ship. Otherwise, his sons also might have mocked at him. They believed. And they got into the ship and they saved the family. Similarly, if you compare, even in the last days, shall we read one verse? 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 9. We are going to read this verse, 2 Peter, 3rd verse, 9th verse, 3rd chapter, 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering as toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And why is Lord showing his long suffering in these end days? This verse is very clear. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why is Lord delaying these days? As he was waiting for Methuselah to keep him alive for 969 days. And Lord is now showing his long suffering. In this New Testament age, he doesn't want anybody to perish. Giving time. There the completion of the construction of the ship was over. Maximum time God has given. The long suffering nature it shows. And now what is our ship? The church is being built. Lord has told Peter, as we read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, Peter, I will build my church. I will build my church. Just like Noah built that ark, that is a ship for safety, and God is building that church. And people, those who are of the family, this church is again extended family, God's family. We should be born into that family. We must be the members of God's family. How will it become? Not by paying membership. Not by giving money. Not by knowing some terminology, some words like praise the Lord, hallelujah, and all that, and to get on with other people. No, all these things will ultimately deceive us. Have I become the child of God? Am I born into his family, God's family? John's Gospel, first chapter, 12th verse says, for as many as believed in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ, to them he has given the power and authority to become the children of God. So what is our status now? Have I become the child of God? Have you become the child of God? Not church membership. Let us not bother about fame and popularity, or I am known to other people, these people. No, all these things will not help us. Am I known to my God? Does he know me? Can he accept me? It is the safety, the church of the living God. It is the house of God. And how to be born in his church? He is the head. Church is the body. And by being born again, by repenting of our sins. When we get into the family of God, that Noah's family, as they entered into the ark, as God's family, we come into this church, the church of the living God. We become the members of the body of Christ, to which our head, to which Lord is our head. What a wonderful provision God has made. He is showing his long suffering. So let us understand the long-suffering nature of God. Let us believe it. Let us accept it. And let us make use of it to be the recipients of that great God. And also let us cultivate this nature of long-suffering in our own lives, so that many disasters can be averted in our own lives, in our day-to-day living, in the life in the society, life in our family, life in the church. And let us have this nature, and let us be the recipients of God's blessings. Thank you. God bless you.